What's up, guys? Welcome to My Ordinary Life. This is a podcast that highlights seemingly ordinary short stories from my past and explores some of the ways in which they turn out to be pretty extraordinary after all. I'm your host, Hannah, and today we're talking about mental health. Let's go. This is episode 17. New episodes drop to every streaming platform on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Let's go. Hello, friends. The last episode that I recorded and posted for you dropped on January 26th of this year. Hardly anything had even happened yet. It had been almost 1 month into the new year. But with this new semester, you know, college can be stressful. Just like all things in life can be stressful, everything comes with pros and cons. All of your different life choices will bring about certain types of happiness and certain types of stress. And you have to, you know, learn how to deal with those. So I started my sixth semester. I got three podcasts into it. We talked about the new year, finding balance. Then we talked about my experience in moving to Idaho and meeting people on the volleyball team who helped me to kind of just become more comfortable with my new community as the new girl for the bajillionth time. And then the last episode we talked about what it was like, all of the changes and the priority shift, the reset that came with tearing my knee, injuring my knee in my last soccer game when I was younger. Generally how I do my podcasts is season one, or the first, 15 episodes, 14 episodes, they were all about stories from my childhood, growing up, laughing at all of the details that I got wrong because my childish perception was not accurate. And that's just a part of, you know, childhood brain development, is you don't quite perceive things accurately. So that was fun to share a couple stories with you guys about that. Season two has been focused on stories from my high school years. But as you can tell, it's now April 1st. I haven't done a podcast since January 26th. And this is because I struggle with mental health issues. Like a lot of people. And it's a difficult thing to talk about because it's different for every person. It's very personal to every person. And for a long time, there's been a stigma surrounding mental illness, a stigma which actually it originated among other places. The primary reason that people fear or are uncomfortable talking about mental illness it's rooted in the mistreating and the misconduct that health workers showed when working with patients in mental hospitals centuries ago. You guys, this was like over 100 years ago. Generations ago, people were being sent to these mental hospitals and they were being treated horribly. They were being, you know, tortured, beat, just lots of all different types of abuse being done to them. And there's no telling whether the health workers thought that it was actually effective in treating the mental illness or not, or they were just cruel people. There's no way to know because we can't talk to them. They are not around. But that is one of the biggest factors that actually leads into the stigma surrounding mental health. Another one is our natural, like our society's push for perfection, for professionalism, and for being graceful and classy. And there's just so much push for perfection that has only been magnified by social media. And it zeroes in on every little flaw that we have, every little, you know, moment of anxiety or moment of extreme low or moment of flash anger or, you know, any issues that are invisible to other people that we experience that no one else can see. It's incredibly personal. It's incredibly private. It's incredibly difficult, and it's incredibly hard to get other people to feel sympathy for something they cannot see. Thankfully, there has been a great shift over the past couple decades or so that is moving more and more towards compassion for mental health. More and more people are recognizing it as a problem with a solution, as, you know, a puzzle that can be solved. Mental health is really important because it's all about your brain, and your brain is where your personality lives. It's all about you. So I have been so grateful to see that shift, even just in my lifetime. I'm 21 years old, 21 and a half next month for anyone who keeps track. It's been really nice to see this shift happen so quickly within my lifetime, as social media becomes relevant, as they become one of the major voices of influence, and these voices are choosing to push for love. They're choosing to push for compassion regarding mental illness and regarding people who struggle with things that we can't see, things that maybe we have never experienced. It's so much easier. And I know this because I'm a human, and you know this because you're a human. It is so much easier to walk up and sign somebody's cast when they break their arm than to look someone in the eye who says that they are struggling mentally. It's so much harder to look them in the eye, see their injury for all that it is, see the depth and the severity, and then find empathy or even sympathy. It's hard, but it is possible. So on this theme of accepting mental health and working compassionately to address it and to solve this puzzle, I decided that today I wanted to share a little bit with you guys about some of my mental health issues. I actually had a couple episodes later on, like episode 30 something, about some of my mental health issues. But it is so pressing right now. It is so pressing and relevant, and mainstream media right now. Mental health cannot wait until episode 30. Mental health cannot wait for anything or for anyone. Mental health needs to be talked about right now. So this is what we're talking about. Mental health is the reason why I have been AWOL for the past 8 weeks. For the past 8 Tuesdays, I've missed posting. I haven't even thought about recording my podcast because I've been struggling with mental health. So you may be thinking, okay, Hannah, we've got it. We've got it now. You've spent 8 minutes talking about how mental health is prevalent and how it's been around and how people don't feel comfortable with it and the stigma and blah, blah, blah. But where can we relate to you on this matter? And well, I have struggled with feelings of depression since I was probably 14 or 15 years old. And I didn't recognize them for what they were for a really long time, because I was growing up as a teenager, right in the middle of the shift where people were like, is it okay to talk about mental health? Is it not okay? Are you just as worthy of being a person? Are you just as worthy of love and acceptance and understanding? If you struggle with mental illness. And so I didn't really cope. I didn't really grasp it. I just pushed it aside. I just left it to the wind and ignored it. But about every 6 months or so, when I very first started feeling this extreme, extreme low, this darkness and heaviness, it was only every 6 months or so. And then it would last maybe 2 or 3 days where I'd be like, oh, this is weird. I just feel awful. I do not feel healthy. I do not feel like there will ever, I literally felt the equivalent of being 100% convinced that the sun would never rise again, even though thousands, billions, billions, billions of years have proven to us that the sun goes down, the sun comes up. I was wholeheartedly convinced of basically that the sun would not rise. And it's so extreme. That type of darkness, that type of sadness, that type of apathetic, just numbness to emotion, to people, to words, to school, to activities, to sleep. It wears on you and it feels heavy and it's not logical. It's not logical. Because if you are functioning logically, you could talk yourself out of depression. At least I could. The older I get, the more I find that I'm able to at least talk myself up a little bit and be like, okay, the sun is not rising now. I am in a rainstorm, but I know that it will come back. I know that it will. I didn't always feel that way. So this started about when I was 14, 15 years old. Every 6 months or so, for about 2 or 3 days, I would just feel darkness. I would just feel low. I went through high school, did all my stuff, talked to people, participated in clubs, all that kind of thing. I graduated, and then I went to college. And college, me and BYU do not have a good relationship. We never have. Never ever. I moved to college. I moved out of my parents' house. I moved into my own apartment. And I was 18 years old, the youngest in my apartment by 2 years. Everyone else was 20 or older. I did not live with any freshmen. I was 700 miles away from my family, who I have never left. I was raised in a good home with kind parents and loving siblings most of the time. Most of the time they were loving. Sometimes it was tough love. I was really blessed to have the childhood that I did, but I was not prepared for it to be over. And when I moved to college, I was obviously homesick. I was obviously lonely. And then it did not go away. I just kept being lonely. It lingered. It lingered in all of the places that I didn't want it to be. It had these wicked claws. It would dig into my ribcage and just piercing pains, heavy pressure. Always there. It was always there. It was always what I was thinking about. I struggled to make friends, struggled to go to class on time like normal people. But I carried the heaviness. Shortly after that, I was diagnosed with chronic insomnia and given a prescription drug. It was pretty sweet. Because I was having sleep problems. I don't sleep very well. So I started working on that, getting my sleep in order, trying to help myself start feeling better with this. And then, you know, normal college life happened, stressful exams. I went through a couple breakups. Dating at BYU is a nightmare. It really sucks. It really, really sucks. It started getting worse. And now it's to the point where every 6 weeks or so, my heaviness sets in on my chest, on my heart, on my ribs. I feel the heaviness. I feel my restricted breathing. I feel shadows. I still have insomnia. Because when I lay down at night and when I do sleep without sleep aids, I often have nightmares, that have stuck with me for years. And I cannot tell you the trigger. I cannot. I have looked and looked and looked, and I have tried to find the trigger for my depressive episodes. I've tried to find the origins behind my nightmares. I've tried to find them on my own, and it didn't work. I didn't find them. So here I am. Obviously, that's kind of all leading up to today. Started in high school once or twice a year, I would start feeling that heaviness. And now it's to the point where every couple weeks, I fall into my lows, and the lows can last anywhere. They can last up to 2 weeks at a time where I'm just feeling low. And these lows are impacting my academic record. They impact my school work. They impact my employment. They impact everything that I'm trying to do with my life. In those 4 weeks, in that 1 month in between lows, where I'm up and I'm cleaning my room and I'm cooking food and I'm going to work and I'm doing my homework, I am doing so great. I am making progress towards these life goals I've always had. But then I reach my lows, my depressive points, and I just drop and the heaviness comes, and I can't convince myself to go to campus. I can't convince myself to invest in a cooked meal or a meal at all. And it sucks, but that's how it is. Now, all of this has been super depressing, and this is how I've experienced it. In the hopes that maybe some of this sounds familiar to you. If any of this rings a bell, then what I'm about to share with you is also very, very, very crucial. Very, very important. Last week, I had a huge victory in mental health. The first breakthrough, the first success, the first positive progress in healthy coping that I have had in years. And the success, the victory was finally, after 5 years of looking, I found a personal therapist. I do remember having a discussion with my parents at some point in high school. I mentioned my nightmares, and my dad said, well, maybe you should talk to somebody about it. And me, being the emotional, illogical teenager that I was, I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go talk to a therapist. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to talk to a shrink. That's what I said. And that moment is burned into my mind because I just can't help but wonder where I would be now if I had actually pursued therapy earlier. But you guys, I've made that victory. I did that. I found a therapist. And it took so long. And I called so many people. I've had 3 different church leaders trying to help me find people. I've gone through the university's mental health department. I've done group therapy with them. And it was probably about 30% effective. But don't let that be a discouragement to you if you want to hop into that program. They can be really good for you. They were not good for me. I've been trying my darndest. I keep a journal as my own little private therapist. I try to do all these coping methods. I play music. I draw. I write. I create. I write angry letters. I try to do all of these coping things that people tell you to do to cope with difficult emotions. And it's not been helping. And so I finally made an appointment with a case manager at BYU. She helped connect me to a list of therapists. I called one and we got an appointment set up. And you guys, the wait is still there, but it is noticeably less. It's less. And over the next couple weeks, as I start going to therapy, I am hoping that that will continue to be the case, that I will continue to feel this weight, this burden grow lighter and lighter. I'm really grateful that I can do that. So here's my call to action for you. We've had kind of a depressing discussion. We've talked all about Hannah's little heart, how it struggles. I cut out the part about anxiety just because that's a lot to put into one episode. But we've talked a lot about feeling sad, feeling weight, feeling heavy, a heaviness that keeps coming back, a heaviness without reason. And now I want to talk to you about why it's important to address it. My freshman year of college, I experienced 2 suicides in the same week. The first one was a girl at BYU who attempted to hurt herself in one of the buildings that I was at in December of 2018. That was very traumatic. And then within a day or two of that, I received word that one of my mentors from IDEFI, from my volunteer organization that I work with, someone I knew very close, someone who was a leader and a friend who sent me handmade cards in the mail every year for my birthday, a veteran and a volunteer, took his life as well. Both of these people were struggling with things we could not see. Both of these people were fighting battles that could not be seen. Our challenge was to see what we couldn't see, to find empathy, to find compassion, to find love for these people who were struggling. The reason it is so important to not only talk about and normalize mental health, but to address it and take care of it and seek wellness is because this is a snowball that you do not want to grow. This is the butterfly effect in its most basic form. One decision leads to another. Another decision leads to another. Everything you do impacts something else. If today, every 6 months, you're feeling kind of low and you're not sure about it, if every night you are having traumatic, violent, vivid nightmares, but you're too afraid to see someone for it, this leads to bigger things. And we need to intervene, because the bigger things, that bigger snowball at the bottom of the mountain, that is where we lose people. That's where we lose lives. That's where we lose loved ones. And that is the real danger behind ignoring mental health. My call to action for you today, I guess you could say I have two. It can be wrapped up and simplified into the word love. Cliche for a reason. We need so much love in this world. We need so much love for ourselves, so much love for other people. We need compassion. We need to have these difficult discussions. We need to address these little things before they become big things, before the big things lead to losing people. I am so looking forward to seeing what kind of progress I can make and what kind of life changes come as I begin therapy. I'm so ready to put down this burden. I'm so ready to be a good student, to be a reliable employee, to feel like the heaviness doesn't anchor me when I'm low. And I'm doing it step by step by step, working backwards, working to fix and address and work through each one of these things that hold me back. And I encourage you to do the same. I really do. Look out for those people that need help. Look out for the people who really need somebody. And be looking out for yourself too, because you might be the one who needs it. Anyway. So that's a wrap on today's episode. Thank you for listening in about my ordinary life and the ordinary moments that cultivate it into an extraordinary life. Hope to see you back on Tuesdays when new episodes drop at 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time.